Hi everyone, this is Dr. Steve McKinlay with the brand new Digital Ethics Podcasts. So every week I'll be making a series of podcasts which will essentially replace the lectures and cover the content of the course for each week for the foreseeable future until we somehow eliminate the deadly coronavirus. I'm hoping to make them as interesting as possible, but sometimes the material could get a little bit heavy, but persevere. They will only ever be about 10 to 15 minutes each. It'll be a series for each week. So, enjoy. Smoke machine. This week's series is all about professional ethics. So some of the topics that we'll cover this week will be who and what or who is a professional. The issue of whistleblowing, so when is it permissible to blow the whistle? When are we morally obligated to blow the whistle if something is going wrong with a software project, for example? We'll look at the topic of safety-critical software, what constitutes safety-critical software, the issues of liability, responsibility, and accountability. So we'll make some distinctions between those terms. And then we'll finally consider the issue of what kind of special moral responsibilities do IT professionals have. So that's the lineup for this week. I hope to break the podcasts down into probably about three, I would imagine. And I would highly recommend that you review the Herman Tavani Chapter 4 chapter on this topic, professional ethics and codes of conduct. I will put up some notes for you to have a look at, and there will be some modules for you to work through. All in all, I expect the entire week's work to cover pretty close to sort of 4 hours, 3.5, close to 4 hours. If you were to read the entire Herman Tavani chapter 4, that's probably going to be a couple of hours' work anyway. As always, I will have the weekly quiz, which you have to successfully complete 100% to open up the revision questions from which there will be one or two in the exam. So you want to see those revision questions, you got to work on that quiz and get them 100%. I think there's about five questions this week, a little bit harder than last week. So have a go at that. And in just a sec, we will begin the first podcast number one on professional ethics. So for this first session, we are going to look at the question of what is a profession, who is a professional, and we'll look at a few different people's perspectives. Don Gottebahn, a guy called Buchanan, and Herman Tavani's take on the whole thing from his text, chapter 4. We'll also consider the question, do IT professionals have any special moral responsibilities? I'll explain what we mean by safety-critical software. And we'll look at professional codes of conduct or codes of ethical codes and how they work within a workplace. And then we'll probably leave it there and carry on in the next podcast. So, what is a professional? What would be considered a professional? Some people might think it's somebody that has some kind of expert knowledge or duly qualified. So, for example, if you're a lawyer, you are considered a professional. You have to do a law degree. You have to do a professional section at the beginning of your legal career to prove that you are an ethical and qualified lawyer. And of course, in the health industry, doctors and so on are considered professionals as well. And of course, in many other areas as well, we might consider people to be professionals. So the question we're really asking here is, where does the distinction lie? How do we make a decision about whether a profession or an individual is considered to be a professional or a non-professional? What's the responsibilities and the roles? How do they differentiate from professionals to non-professionals? And where is the distinction? Well, What we could do is we could take a writer called Buchanan, who, and you'll see him in the Tavani textbook, who argued that the role of what differentiates a professional from a non-professional is that the role of a professional has the potential to impact either positively or negatively on an individual or the public at large. So, everyone can impact positively or negatively, but I'm guessing that Buchanan's thinking significantly. So, for example, an engineer has the potential to significantly impact on individuals, and we saw this during the Christchurch earthquake when a building collapsed and the engineer in question was taken to court and they attempted to hold somebody responsible for the failure of a building. So there's really just one more point I wanted to make about this, which comes out quite strongly in the Tavani textbook. It's the point that Tavani makes, and he considers the point that really makes the distinction between professionals and non-professionals is that professionals and professions, such as the legal industry, dentistry, engineers, lawyers, and so on, is that they all have codes of conduct or ethical codes associated with them. So according to Tavani, what really distinguishes professionals from non-professionals is that they all have to adhere to a pretty rigorous ethical code of conduct. And also, if there's a breach of that code of conduct, a professional can be struck off the register if they're a health professional, or they could be debarred if they're a lawyer. So these codes of conduct or these ethical codes have teeth, and they can actually cause people to lose their careers if they don't behave ethically. So that's a few ideas about what distinguishes professionals from non-professionals. Hopefully that'll help with the quiz. So the next point I want to discuss is, do IT professionals have any kind of special moral responsibility or any special moral obligations? We want to call ourselves professionals. We want to say that we're an IT professional. And does this mean that we have any special moral responsibilities? Well, according to Don Gottebahn — Don Gottebahn's an Australian, and by the way, Don Gottebahn is a strong advocate for codes of conduct and ethical codes in the industry. There's also a question about that in the quiz. We'll talk about that in a little bit more detail soon. But he thinks that, Gottebahn argues that because software engineers are responsible for developing safety-critical software systems — not all software systems are safety-critical, but many are, and some of you in the future may be involved in development or running of safety-critical systems or mission-critical systems that are associated with essential services and so on — that they have the opportunity to do good or cause harm. They have the opportunity to enable others to do good or cause harm, and also the fact that they can influence others to do good or harm. So many ethicists do argue that IT professionals in specific areas do have special moral responsibilities. So what about safety-critical software? What would we consider safety-critical software? You might think of aircraft control systems or air traffic control systems, or software that is responsible for the running of transportation, automated transportation systems. So, you know, when you travel overseas, back in the good old days when the world, before the world changed, if you ever transited through a large airport, you sometimes have to get on those automated trains that travel around the airport and take you from one terminal to another. So those are all automated by software. People developing and running that software, that's safety critical. Also, many of the types of software that are used by the military could be considered safety critical software. So imagine if you're developing software that controls missile guidance systems and so on. And then there could also be medical treatment systems, and there could be many others. Have a think about other types of critical software that you think might qualify. Tavani kind of extends this moral obligation, and he wants to argue that there are other types of software or other organisations that have significant scope and influence with an ability to do good or cause harm, or enable others to do good or cause harm. And he sort of points out large corporations like Google, Facebook, and so on. And I'm sure that you can think of plenty of other corporations that software organizations or corporations that have the ability to harm be created or to do good. So these are some of the examples of software organizations or software systems that there are ethical implications there, and so there are certain moral responsibilities that go along with that. So I was going to cover professional codes of conduct and ethics, codes of ethics in this podcast as well, but we've been going for over 10 minutes now, and I think a nice sort of time for a podcast, about 10 to 15, maybe maximum 20 minutes, but I'm aiming for 10, 15 for each of these. And so I'll cover that in the next one. So I hope you've enjoyed this, a nice little introduction to professional ethics. There'll be some course material up on Moodle as well. There's revision questions that are related to this. I've kind of given the answers to a couple of the quiz questions in this podcast. There's more to come in the next one, which should be up soon. Hope you've enjoyed it, and we'll catch you in the next one.